Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
So we're talking about ordinary people and extraordinary God. And I think that that's so important if we want to win over our neighbors, our family, our coworkers. If we can keep in mind that we're actually just very ordinary and it's God that's extraordinary. And I think once God like enters our heart and he starts cleansing us, I think it's possible for Satan to enter our minds and we start thinking that we're extraordinary in our flesh. But it's always God that's extraordinary and not us. We came here with nothing and we're going to leave with nothing. We're just ordinary. So I love that Scripture points this out. There are stories in the Bible are little, I'm going to call it like snippets, like that we would just gloss over in the Bible and miss this encounter with the ordinary because we're so ingrained with the Sunday school messages that are extraordinary. It's God's extraordinary, but it's those messages that we love and we kind of chew on a lot and we, and if you're on social media, it's always flashing on these scriptures that we all know. But there's little ones that God highlights, these ordinary people. And it gives me hope that if ordinary people like this in the Bible can live and serve God, maybe I can too. Amen? Maybe you can too. So we're going to be reading from the Old Testament today. We're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 19. 1 Kings 18, verses 1 through 19. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. This is a little section of the prophet Elijah, and he encounters an ordinary guy named Obadiah, not to be confused with other Obadiahs that are talked about in the Bible. I believe there's over a dozen Obadiahs that are different. They're not all the same, just the same name. This is an ordinary guy, Obadiah. So I'm going to start in verse 1 here. Oh, and I want to just paint the picture here, is that Elijah had declared a drought over Israel. So they're in a drought. There's no rain. And so here we are. After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab had summoned Obadiah, his palace administrator. Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. While Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and had supplied them with food and water. Ahab had said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs and valleys. Maybe we can find some grass to keep the horses and mules alive so we will not have to kill any of our animals." So they divided the land they were to cover, Ahab going in one direction and Obadiah in another. As Obadiah was walking along, Elijah met him. Obadiah recognized him, bowed down to the ground and said, "Is it really you, my Lord Elijah?" "Yes," he replied. "Go tell your master, Elijah is here." "What have I done wrong?" asked Obadiah, "that you are handing your servant over to Ahab to be put to death? As surely as the Lord your God lives, there is not a nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And whenever a nation or kingdom claimed you were not there, he made them swear they could not find you. But now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here?' I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord may carry you when I leave you. If I go and tell Ahab and he doesn't find you, he will kill me. Yet I, your servant, have worshipped the Lord since my youth. Haven't you heard, my lord, what I did while Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord? I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. And now you tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here?' He will kill me." Elijah said, "As the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel, and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table." Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your glory is on display for us to learn about. We thank you that we see your big picture victory in this little bit of scripture. And Lord, I thank you that for the reminder of how ordinary we are and how extraordinary you are. So Lord, teach us today and encourage us. May your word be on the tablet of our heart, Lord God, that we'd be moved by you and convicted by you to love others around us and to serve you, and that we've been called by name by you, that we have gifts and everything that we need inside of us to help with your commission, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Ordinary obedience shows off God's extraordinary power. While Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and had supplied them with food and water. Obadiah loved the Lord, but he was working for the king of Israel, who was no longer serving the Lord. He had been taught that from his father. He also had allowed a different spirit to come in through his marriage with Jezebel. And when we allow these things, our obedience and our call to the Lord falls by the wayside, and we don't even know it. Like, we lose track of Jesus really easy because we're deceived. Obadiah was King Ahab's right-hand guy. The whole nation had stopped worshiping Yahweh and was worshiping Baals and following the lead of Queen Jezebel. Jezebel was having all the prophets of the Lord killed. Can you imagine? All the people that were speaking the words that God was speaking to his people, she had them killed. Do we see anything like that today? Have we seen anything like that this week? Should we be surprised? Or should we just stand in prayer? There's nothing new going on. God's chosen were being attacked. Obadiah feared the Lord, and he hid 100 prophets and fed them. Obadiah feared the Lord. Like, Obadiah had this healthy awe of God, knowing who he is and what he's done, knowing that God is the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, knowing who he is. He felt it in his heart to save the prophets and hide them. And how can one man literally feed 100 prophets? even in this time in the United States where we're all so blessed and so spoiled, I'm not sure that I could feed 100 people and take care of my other obligations. I don't know if I could do that. How did this guy do this? Food and water, and he did it in secret. That's because that's what God did. God made a way. He used Obadiah and got his will accomplished through an ordinary man. Here's an ordinary man serving the Lord and being obedient to the call that the Spirit of God put on his heart to do, to not look past the need, but to meet the need. This showed that quiet, behind-the-scenes obedience to God can put God's power on display and glorify our King in heaven just as much as someone's bold act can. Obadiah reacted like Jesus has taught us in Scripture. React to the need, and if you're attacked, well, Matthew 5:10 teaches, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So we shouldn't be afraid to step out and serve God Almighty. He will bless us. Sometimes we think in our flesh that if I step out, then something bad will happen to me. Maybe I'll be a martyr, and someone would go as far as to kill me. Is that something I should be worried about? I don't think so. I think the thing is that the victory is in Jesus, and we know where we're going. If we truly believe that he defeated the grave and that we have life eternal in him, then we know where we're going, and there's nothing to fear. Oh, death, where is your sting? I know it's easy to say, but I believe that the Lord is calling us to truly believe this in our heart of hearts, that everything that we do should be for him. Charles Spurgeon says in his book, The Power of Quiet Courage, Obadiah's courage was not the courage of defiance or resistance, but the courage of faith. He hid the prophets of the Lord in the cave and did so at a great risk to himself. He was no hero in the sense of a bold warrior, but his quiet bravery shone through in his faithfulness to God in a hostile world. Are we in a hostile world right now? And I believe we're in a really safe place here. But I think we would be ignorant to think that it's not going to get worse. It's upon us. 2 John verse 6 says, "And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands, as you have heard from the beginning. His command is that you walk in love." We are just like Obadiah. We're living in a place that the majority are not walking in obedience to the Lord. Would you agree? There's less of us than there's less believers walking in God's power than are. We're called to obedience in our workplaces, in our families, our neighborhoods, to stand up for the things of God, to follow the ways of the Lord. Amen. Listen to the still voice of the Holy Spirit to guide you. It may be scary what he's asking of you, but it will become a God story for generations to come in your family. To literally think of the decision that you're making today will be a legacy for your family. Even a little decision, even in our homes, the decision that I make today and how I'm going to treat my wife is setting a legacy for the generation to come behind us. If your dad was a yeller in the house, maybe we break that chain today and we start a legacy of dads that are kind, soft-hearted. My dad looked like Jesus. He wasn't perfect. And when he occasionally yelled, he repented. But most of the time, he was so kind. Little things like this. Start in our homes, practice in our homes, and let it bleed out into the community. Just doing our daily tasks with the right attitude and the fear of the Lord leads to God's hand on things. Just our daily tasks that seem mundane and kind of boring. Here I go again. It's Wednesday. I have to go to the grocery store. We're going to cook dinner. We're going to clean house. So boring. It's these things that when we do these simple tasks, but with our eyes focused on the awe of God, the fear of the Lord, I'm doing this all for you, God, and trusting that there's going to be some encounters, like some divine encounters with people at the meat department of your grocery store, or maybe in the vegetable section or at the checkout counter. Maybe there's going to be somebody that's hurting that sees the light beaming from you. And it's in that obedience and it's that time where a regular person like you and I can let God do something extraordinary in someone else. As Obadiah was walking along, Elijah met him. Obadiah recognized him, bowed down to the ground, and said, "Is it really you, my Lord Elijah?" "Yes," he replied. "Go tell your master Elijah is here." Obadiah was asked by his boss, King Ahab, to walk the land and search for grass to feed the animals in this time of drought. Obadiah was not on the same page as his boss. Obadiah, as a believer, he loves the Lord. His boss does not. His boss is married to Jezebel. They're serving other gods. Obadiah is obedient to his boss. He's not stopping like, "Oh, you don't serve the Lord that I serve. I'm better than you." He's obedient. This is my job. I'm going to do my job the right way. God's asked me to do this. You ever do that? Well, they're not saved like us, or we do stuff half-heartedly. We don't give it our all because we're better. We're thinking that we're extraordinary in our own ways, and they're just ordinary. Jesus teaches us that we're to serve, not to be served. We're servants. So we have a job that God gave us, and we're serving our boss. We're serving our company. We're serving whatever it is, wherever God put us, we're there to serve and do the best that we can through his strength. Obadiah was not on the same page. He was actually on the other end of the spectrum of his boss. They thought very differently, but he was obedient and did what he was asked to do. In this obedience, he just so happened to meet Elijah. "Obadiah, you go this way." The king says, "I'm going to go that way, and we're going to go look for some food for our animals, or we're going to have to kill them because they're starving." He says, "Okay, I'll go." Full obedience to his boss. Just happened to meet Elijah. God was up to something. Obedience in the workplace led to an opportunity to be used by God to save Israel from the drought and for Israel to be saved from King Ahab and Jezebel. Obedience in the workplace led to God using him there. Sometimes we just think like all the God stuff's going to happen on Sunday. I really hope that Pastor Matt gives this wonderful message and that I'm touched by God and I'm healed of this stuff that I'm struggling with. How about, "God, I don't really care what Pastor Matt says. I love that we go to church so we could fellowship and pray over each other, but it's not really the message that I'm counting on for strength. What I'm really counting on is you, Lord. Will you guide me this week and be with me this week? And will you lead me to someone hurting? Can I be obedient even at my workplace and that you would use me to glorify your kingdom? May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven right now. Lord, would you just use broken me, little old me, would you just use me?" We're so caught up on messages, hoping for some great speaker. I'm going to go online, and I'm going to look for that message that I just love the little reels that have all those cute sayings that these pastors, I love that church is over there. What are we doing? What I have to say is really not that great. what other churches, pastors have to say. I really believe it's not that great. Spending time in the Word of God and hearing a story like this where it's like Obadiah was just a worker, just doing his job. And while he's doing his job, a prophet meets him and speaks the plan of God over him and says, I need you to go do this for me so we could advance God's kingdom, so that we can do the will of God. You're just a co-worker. You're on commission with our Savior. Can you do that? This happened at work, not at church, not in the sanctuary. Just being obedient at his workplace, God used him. When we fear the Lord and seek him for the wisdom and guidance in our lives, he will use us to do all sorts of strange things to save his people. Strange things. This reminds me of the command from Jesus to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. God has us covered by the shade of his wing. Can you imagine that Obadiah, loving the Lord, had this posture of, Lord, I'm here and I'm praying for King Ahab and I'm praying for your people, Israel. I'm lifting this up to you, God. And as we could be obedient, Lord, we're here and I'm praying for our country. Like, this is you in your quiet time during the week, not waiting for Sunday for some message. Like, this is you hiding in your closet. Like, Lord, bless our nation. Bless our government, Lord God. Bless my employer. He's godless, Lord. Pour out your blessing on him. Show him your face, God. Pray for our enemies. R.C. Sproul says in his book, Faithless in a Time of Apostasy, Obadiah represents the kind of Christian who lives in the shadows, doing what is necessary to preserve the truth of God in an age of apostasy. We need more Obadiahs, those who will not bow to the idolatry of the age, but will, at great personal cost, take a stand for God's truth. Just pointing out that we just need more ordinary people like you and I, who are not relying on Sunday's message, but on our quiet time manna with God. God, feed me today. Give me today this daily bread. Lord God, and forgive me all the things that I've done. Forgive my sin, and I'm going to forgive all those around me as well. Feed me today, God, on this Monday morning before I go to work. I woke up a little bit early because I just am desiring you above all else. I want to just sit with you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. Malachi 3:16 talks about the faithful remnant. It says, then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. When we tell God about our reverence and our awe, when we literally have a conversation with God and we tell him each morning, that's how we start the Lord's Prayer. We're exalting him. We're putting him in his rightful place. When we tell God about our reverence and our awe of him, and step out in faith to serve him, his outstretched arm covers us. I want to encourage you to remind him daily that you know who he is and all that he has done. Literally, God shows us in the Old Testament, right, that he clears the Red Sea and the land becomes dry for his people to walk through into a promised land. And the pillar of day, the cloud, shifted. It was leading the Israelites, and it shifted to the back and let them continue. But it made a dark place for the enemy to where they couldn't even see. He handles our enemies. He's got that. And he set us free in Jesus. Stepping out even when it's scary, because we are the descendants of Abraham who live by faith and not by sight. Sometimes we have to do things that we're feeling like we're not gifted in, that we're not prepared to do. I'm going to let somebody else do that because they're better at that. They're just better at doing that. And every day we see this thing that needs to be done and we just pass it by because there's someone that's better at that. Instead of just stepping out and doing what's right in front, God has put that in front of you because he wants to use ordinary you to do extraordinary him. We don't have to save anybody. We don't have to show signs. We don't have to show miracles. We don't have to. We can't. It's God that does that. But if we step out in faith and lay our hands on a coworker or something, or someone on the street, someone at the grocery store, and just out of faith, we're saying, God, I know you're a God that wants to do some stuff like this, so I'm just going to lay my hand in agreements with you. I'm just going to put my hand here because I agree with what you want to do. I know your character. I know what you've done in my life. I hear it in your word when I wake up in the morning. I'm hearing it every day. I know who you are, God, and I see this, and I'm just going to agree with what you want to do, and I'm just going to say a simple little prayer, and I don't know. There's nothing powerful in me, but you're powerful, and God, do this. And if he does it or not is not up to us. Just trust and see if he does it. He does it so much, and he does it so well. And he doesn't change. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" Obadiah had to report to Ahab that he saw Elijah, who everyone had been looking for Elijah. They're like, this dude has put a curse on our land. We need rain. Everybody, even other kings in their nations, King Ahab was reaching out to others. We need to find this guy. We're having a famine. We need him. And here's little old Obadiah saying, I seen him, and he's coming to meet you. It's like, what? Are you making this up, dude? Because I've sent a lot of people and talk. I'm a powerful man. We've looked for him. Who are you? He says, he's going to come. Obadiah knew that this could lead to death. If he stands up and says something so strange that he's actually questioning the king, like, isn't the king capable of sending his troops or whatever to go out and find Elijah? They couldn't. Obadiah did? Ordinary Obadiah did this? Can ordinary you do some stuff that counters what other people think about you and what you should be able to do in your flesh? People look at us and judge us. We don't look that special. How are they going to do that? Who are they? I had some guys saying, "You really think you hear from God?" He was serious. And I felt bad, because to me that said that I need to talk to this guy, because that means he doesn't believe that he could hear from God. And he's Catholic his whole life. You really believe you could hear from God? Anyways, if Elijah did not show up, surely Ahab would have killed Obadiah for his ridiculous actions. So Obadiah, an ordinary guy working for the king, stepped out in faith and trusted Elijah, the prophet of Yahweh, and was faithful to God. Jesus teaches us in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Obadiah was right in the will of God by offering his life as a sacrifice to serve the Lord. Obadiah trusted in God, did something that was scary, and that's the kind of stuff when Jesus returns and we go face to face, he knows that we're broken. He knows about our sin. He knows about everything, but he's going to remember that day when we were scared out of our socks and we stepped out in faith and did that one thing that he was asking us to do to save another. As an ordinary person, to show his extraordinary will, his extraordinary power, when we step out and trust that it's him that does all that, he's going to say, I know you. when we're just humble and know our spot. We're nothing but filthy rags that have been made righteous through our belief and faith in Jesus Christ. Opportunity is all over San Bruno, all over this peninsula. San Francisco, we'll call it down to San Carlos is getting a little far from me. We'll stop right there. But you get my point. This whole peninsula where we live, where we're called to be as Christians, opportunity everywhere for us to be scared of man, but step out in faith because God is greater than he who is in the world. And God lives in us, and we, because of him in us, are greater than he who lives in the world. Amen? We can do all sorts of stuff that we have no idea we could do. We're just trying to get to church on Sunday to hear a message from ordinary Pastor Matt. When Monday through Saturday, he wants to use ordinary you guys. And on Sunday, Pastor Matt's just here to say, yes, we did it again. We're doing it. We're making a difference on the peninsula because we're stepping out when it's scary. We're doing what he's asking us. We're giving when we don't even have stuff to give. We're praying for our enemies. We're letting go of resentments. We're forgiving those that have hurt us. None of that sounds like anything about what we want to do. It sounds like Jesus. Beth Moore wrote a book, Faithfulness in the Small Things, and here's a quote. She says, "What courage it must have taken for Obadiah to serve the living God in such a hostile environment. He wasn't the one called to stand on the mountaintop with Elijah in the showdown, but he was the one who stood behind the scenes and took great risks to protect God's messengers. Sometimes God calls us to be brave in the small, unnoticed ways." I feel like sometimes we want to do something for God, and we're hoping that maybe it's going to get us on YouTube with over a million views or something. We're like, we're waiting for this extraordinary chance for us to shine. Obadiah did this in secret. Wasn't looking for any kind of glory on himself. That's what Jesus is asking of us. Do it and hope that you're not even seen. We don't want to be seen doing this stuff. Let not the right hand know what the left hand is doing. Do it in secret because God put it on your heart to do it. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." All right, we're going to close. 1 Kings 18, verse 37, which we did not read today, says, "Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Elijah's crying out, "Lord, move in a mighty way so that these people that are against you will know who you are." Because of the faithfulness of ordinary Obadiah, Elijah was able to tell and show King Ahab and the Israelites that God was calling them away from Baal and back to him. Obadiah served God's people even though he worked in a faithless environment. Anybody here work in a faithless environment? No matter what environment we find ourselves in, we must serve God's people faithfully and in love and in sacrifice.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.